Today's here in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Yevamos Daf Tzadi Aleph. We're learning today Leilu Nishmas Chaim Yitzchak Ben David, Chaim and Lukin, Michael Lukin's father. All the Neshamos we learn for should have an Aliyah from our learning. And we begin five lines from the top, Tzadi Aleph, Omer Aleph, with the two dots. And we quote, Bas Kohen Min HaTruma. We learned in our Mishnah that if this woman, who unfortunately was told that her first husband had passed away, and then she remarried somebody else, and then her first husband comes back alive, so if she was a Bas Kohen, she doesn't go back to Etruma, the Vei Sevia, because she's halachically considered, unfortunately, like a Zona. She was an adulteress, albeit unintentionally. So Gemara tells us, Afilu B'Truma D'Rabbanan. One might have thought that this is only the Raisa, but the rabbis weren't machmir here to say that she can't even have Truma D'Rabbanan. So the Gemara tells us, no, the Chiddush of the Mishnah is that she can't even have Truma D'Rabbanan. Then we quote the Mishnah. It says, "V'ein yarshav shozeh, v'yarshav shozeh, yarshing subasav v'chulei." We said that the yarshim of her first husband and the yorshim of her second husband aren't yorish or ksuba. But this is obviously a problem because we said that she doesn't have a ksuba. And the Gemara asked that obvious question, ksuba maya vidita. What are we talking about here that they don't get a ksuba? There is no ksuba, so how can they inherit the ksuba? That to say that the children of the first husband or children of the second husband should inherit the ksuba, there is no ksuba here to inherit. So Rabbi Papa says, yes, there is. This is something called ksubas benin dichrin. There is a special halacha that the rabbis instituted to protect a woman that her father should want to give her a large dowry. So you have a situation, for example, where Reuven is married to a woman, Rachel. So the father says, listen, I'm happy to give a very large dowry, but what happens if Rachel never passes away, and then you go and marry Leah, an unrelated woman, and you have children with Leah? So all the money that I'm giving is not going to my grandchildren, they're going to go to this other woman's children, they're not my grandchildren. I want all the money from my dowry to go to my grandchildren. So he has the right to do this. And this will increase the size of the dowry and will increase the shalom bayis. And therefore, Chazal set up something called ksuvas benin dichrin, where it says in the ksuba that if there are children that you have through my daughter, so they have 100% entitlement to anything that's brought in from the dowry. In other words, they'll collect the ksuba, which you inherit. All the items that were brought in his dowry, when if Rahman al-Islam, the daughter dies, so that money will go directly to her children and not be distributed. Like halachically, normally all the children, whether they're from different wives or not, would equally divide up the Yerusha. Here, this is called Ksuvas Benin Dichrin. So they're entitled to go and get 100% of the dowry that their mother had brought into the marriage through their grandfather, usually. So in this situation, what Rapop is telling us is, yes, there is Ksuvas Benin Dichrin still. Any dowry that they had brought in would normally be distributed not evenly, it would be distributed to that woman's children, so they lose that right. Ksuvas benin dichrin. Someone says, yeah, pshita, why do you need to tell me this? Isn't it obvious? After all, we said that there is no ksuba, so therefore this is part of the ksuba, so she loses the entire ksuba. Someone says, no, I might have thought, ma'u detema, I would have said that we cancer her, l'dida, the avdi yisura, she who did something wrong. Again, albeit somewhat unintentionally, but she wasn't daika enough. She didn't check it out enough. El minseva, and she got married without checking it out. Therefore, she kansua rabbanu. The rabbis gave her a knas. But never, what did her poor children do? The poor children didn't do anything. So I might have thought, lazara, to the children, to say that they shouldn't inherit the ksuvas benin dichrin, that's not fair. Lo kansu rabban. I might have said that the children weren't included in this knas. So kamash b'lom, the chiddush is that the children are included in this knas. And this again, all of this is to spur her to really daika, to really go and check out. We're letting you get married on the opinion of a single aid. It's not even necessarily a kosher aid. It could be even aid mipi aid. It could be even isha mipi isha, isha mipi shivcha. And therefore, since we're allowing this to occur, because we don't want to be an aguna, so at the same time, we're being machmir at the end, like we discussed in the shir a few days ago. Therefore, Komash Balan tells us that even the ksuvas benin dichrin isn't in play. Then the Gemara says, "Achiv shalzev, yachiv shalzev, chotz v'lo biyabin." So we quote the Mishnah where it said that neither the brothers of the first husband, if the first husband passes away and they don't have children, nor the brothers of the second husband who pass away if they don't have children, so neither of those brothers, from the first husband or the second husband, are allowed to do yibum, but we make them both do chalitza. Why is this? So achiv shel ritzon, the brothers of the first husband, so that was a legitimate 100% daraisa marriage. So he dies without children, so there's a chi of deraisa to do yibum with chalitza. So we kansa and don't let yibum be done, but we require chalitza. Chalitza mid deraisa, the lo miyabim mid rabbanon. Technically, they could do yibum or chalitza, but we put a knasin over here and not allow yibum, but they are still not able to let her go scot-free without chalitza, because that's obligated mid deraisa. The second husband that really wasn't the marriage. So midia raisa, there certainly is no marriage there. So achiv shosheni cholis midi rabbanan. There's only a din de rabbanan that the rabbis instituted that she should have to have chalitza midi rabbanan. Certainly, lo miyabim, and certainly the nalabim miyabim, lo midi raisa, lo midi rabbanan. And there is no institution here of yibam, neither on a deraisa level or on a derabanan level, because the bottom line is that there was no marriage. Why did they institute chalitza midirabanan? So Rashi points out the reason why they did the chalitza midirabanan is mishum gezeira shemayomru girish zev v'nosa zev k'damin lo gabe get. Since we had a similar gezeira by the get, we instituted that she has to have a get from him, so people shouldn't mistakenly think that she went out of this marriage without a get, and that you could leave a marriage without a get. So to over here, they didn't want people to mistakenly think that you can leave a marriage without having yibum chalitza if there are no children. So therefore, they instituted chalitza midirabana. Now we quote the Mishnah, where we had, until now, we've been discussing the 16 takanos that the Tanakhama had brought down. And now we have three Tanoim that disagreed with several of those takanos of the Tanakhama. And we'll just remind ourselves what they were. We had Rav Yossi, who said that she is entitled to ksuba mibalo harishona, so she is entitled to ksuba from her first husband. That was the opinion of Yossi, who argued with the Tanakhama. Then we had the opinion of Rabbi Elazar, who said that, in fact, as opposed to the Tanakhama, the husband is entitled to the mitziyasa and maisiyadeha and is allowed to be mefir nidoreha. So these three entitlements that the husband has, Rabbi Elazar says that the husband doesn't lose. The Tanakhama said he lost those. He doesn't have the ksuba, so he lost those as well. So Rabbi Elazar disagrees and says, no, the first husband is entitled to go and have mitziyasa, maisiyadeha, and has the right to be mefir nidoreha. Then we had a third Tana, Rabbi Shimon, who said that, in fact, that the first husband's brothers, if the first husband died without having children, so then they do in fact have a mitzvah of yibum or chalitza, and in fact, if they did the yibum or chalitza to her, any other co-wives would be exempted from having yibum or chalitza. That's how good this chalitza is. And in addition, Rabbi Shimon said that any children that she subsequently has with the first husband aren't mamzerim, as opposed to the Tanakhama, who said they were mamzerim. So these three Tanoim, Rabbi Yossi first, then Rabbi Elazar second, and Rabbi Shimon third, we have a machlokus now as to which one is the most makel of these three and which one is the most machmer of these three. So we first have the opinion of Rav Huna, who says we go from the least makel shita. Rav Yossi is the least makel. Rav Elazar is a little bit more makel. Rav Shimon is the most makel. And then we have Rav Yochanan, says the opposite, pum faker. He says the Rav Yossi is the most makel. Rav Elazar is a little bit less makel. And Rav Shimon is the least makel of the three. And we'll see a nafkamina between them as to who holds from what. Now, Amar Rav Huna. Rav Huna says, again, Rav Huna says that the first shita Rav Yossi was the least mako, then got a little bit more mako with Elazar, got a little bit more mako with Rav Shimon. He says Basroi, the more mako shitos are moda to the earlier shitos. Number two is moda to number one, and number three is moda to number two and number one. However, Kamoi, number one, is lo moda to Basroi, is not moda to two or three, and number two is not moda to number three. What does this mean exactly? So, Rabbi Shimon, Modi Lele Rav Elazar. According to Rav Huna, Rabbi Shimon was the most makel of the three shitos. He had said that yibum is done, and it patters the other tzaros as well. That's how good this yibum is. So, Rabbi Shimon says, Dema bia, allowing yibum to be done to this woman, the ikar isura lo konis. So, therefore, you see that the Chachamim didn't make a gezeira over here to prevent even yibum from occurring, so therefore, certainly, the kol shekein, they wouldn't make a gezeira to prevent the first husband from getting mitziyasu ma'isiyadea and the ability to be made for nidorea. Why? The kol shekein mitziyasu ma'isiyadea demamonohu. Because this is a financial thing. If they didn't prevent an isser from taking effect, if you held like the Tanakhama, that it's an isser in doing yibum, so if they didn't prevent an isser from taking effect, they certainly wouldn't prevent a monetary situation from taking effect. So therefore, number three, Rabbi Shimon, is certainly moda to number two and as well to number one. However, number two, Rabbi Elazar, lo moda le Rabbi Shimon. He's not moda to number three. Rabbi Elazar, who says that monetary, okay, the rabbis weren't gozer, but on the Isser itself, so they are gozer. Mitzioso, ma'isedeh, demamonahu, lo konis. In financial matters, the rabbis weren't so strict. However, avobia, allowing yibum, the isura, that's a real issahu, Kodesh. Therefore, they did make a knas. So number two is not moda to number three. Number three is moda to number two. And likewise, both number three and number two are moda to number one. The Tavayu, both Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon, are moda lele Rabbi Yossi. They agree with Rabbi Yossi. What did Rabbi Yossi say? Rabbi Yossi said that, in fact, we allow the woman to go and collect her ksuba. Hani diyasva to say lo kodesh. If the things that, while she's still living, number two is mitziyasa and maisiyadea and hefer nidorea. So if financial rights, which they said are not lost, And those are while the marriage is on. So certainly, the kosher cane, ksuba, shita number one, Rabbi Yossi, which says that the ksuba can even be collected, the lemishka lul nevakoi. When do you collect the ksuba? Only if the husband dies or the husband divorces you. So the marriage is no longer there. So if Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon hold that the things that are included as part of the marriage, mitziyosa, maisiyodea, and nefer nidoreha, if they're included, so certainly something that is post-marriage, such as the collection of the ksuba, is included as well. And that's what Rabbi Yossi Shita is. However, Rabbi Yossi lomo delahu. Rabbi Yossi disagrees with both Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon. He's the most machmir of these three shitos, and he says, yes, after the marriage is gone, I will allow the ksuba to be collected. However, that's because the ksuba is the lemishka lemeifeku delokonis. It's something that's after the marriage. It's only taken after the marriage is gone. So therefore, the rabbis didn't feel the need to make a knas. However, the maisi yodea, the mitziyosa, and the mefer nidorea, avalhani diyosa to say, these are things that are during the marriage. We want that marriage to break up. So therefore, konis, the rabbis instituted, like the Tanna Kamma says, a penalty here that the husband doesn't have those rights in order to facilitate the end of this marriage to spur them to have a divorce. That's Rav Huna, who says that Rav Yossi was the least meiko, and Rav Elazar is a little bit more meiko, and Rav Shimon is the most meiko. Rav Yochanan says, pun faker. Rav Yochanan amar, no, we're going from the most meiko. Rav Yossi is the most meiko, Rav Elazar is a little bit less meiko, and Rav Shimon is the least meiko. And he says, kamoi, therefore, the first one is molded to 2 and 3. The second one, Rav Elazar, is molded to number 3. And number 3 is not molded to either of them. Kamoi, molded to basroi. The earlier ones, the more meiko ones, are molded to the later ones. However, basroi, the later ones, lamoded to kamoi, aren't molded to the early ones. Again, let's see this inside. Rav Yossi, molded to Rav Elazar, shita number 1, Yossi, who says that she's allowed to collect the ksuba, is molded to Rabbi Elazar that the Maisi Odea and the Mefer Nidorea and the Mitziyasa belong to the husband still. Because ksuba, the Mididei, Lidida Lokonis, if the rabbis didn't institute a knas on things that he's obligated to give her, so certainly the kosher cane, she Mitziyasa Maisi Odea, the Mididei, Lididei, these are things that she gives to him. So therefore, if they didn't make the knas on him, they're certainly not going to make the knas on things that she has to give. And Rabbi Elazar lo modele, but Rabbi Elazar is not modele. He says, and those things that she gives to him, yes, mitziyasa umasi yodeo, and as well hefer nidorea hud mididol didei lokanis. That's she's giving to him. So the rabbis didn't set up a knas. But why should the poor husband? He didn't do anything wrong. Avuksud mididei lididol lokanis. Why should he have to still pay that? So therefore, they instituted the knas in that situation. So Rabbi Yossi is modele to Rabbi Elazar, but Rabbi Elazar is not modele to Rabbi Yossi. And likewise, both of them tarbayu. Well, the Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Elazar, they agree with Rabbi Shimon, modulu Rabbi Shimon, that in fact, Yibum can take place. Ay, umahani de mechayim lukansi, these things where everybody's alive, the rabbis didn't make a knas, so certainly, bio de la achamisa, the Yibum, which occurs only nebuch after the death of the husband, so lukoshkin, they didn't make such a zera. Whereas Rabbi Shimon says, I disagree with you two. Yes, the bia, which is achamisa, they didn't make a knas. Rabbi Shimon lomodile, he says, bia du achamisa lo konis, aval avalhani de b'chayim konis, but numbers 2 and number 1, the maisi adea, nunciosa, hefer nedarea, number 2, and number 1, which is the ksuba, that's during the lifetime, so therefore, mechayim, the rabbis did institute a knas. Okay, those are the two ways to understand the Rav Huna and Rav Yochanan. Then we quote the Mishnah, it said in the Mishnah, at the very end of the Mishnah, in the continuation of Rabbi Shimon's statement, it said, Nises shelo berishus v'chule, if her husband didn't come back from the Benin Sayyam, and she remarried shelo berishus. Again, shelo berishus means that there were two witnesses. She didn't need rishus of beis din, because she accepted the word of two witnesses, which is always acceptable. So Rabbi Shimon had said that in that situation, she's considered a shogeges, and she's not considered an adulteress, and therefore, just like if the husband is a Yisrael, if the husband's a Kohen, it's a problem. But if the husband's a Yisrael, she's allowed to return to the husband. If a woman gets raped, a woman by accident thinks it's her husband, she has relations with somebody else, she's a shogeges, so then she's allowed to return to her husband. So that's what Rav Shimon concludes the mission with. Amar Rav Huna, Amar Rav. Rav Huna comes and says in the name of Rav, Hachi Hilchosa. We in fact paskin like this opinion. Rav Nachman is unhappy with the way Rav Huna Rav stated his statement. Amar Rav Nachman, he says, Ganvo genuve lomalach. Why are you trying to do a trick over here? You're doing something like a ganav in stealth, in secrecy, in private. You're trying to get around the fact that you're passing like a das yochid over the das rabbi by saying, oh, hochi hilchusa, implying that this is likuli alba. But it's really only a das yochid. So if you're passing like a das yochid, speak up and say, I'm passing like a das yochid. Why are you genuve ganva? You're sneaking around over here and trying to do things surreptitiously. Isi Rabbi Shimon. If you're saying the halach is like Rabbi Shimon, say so. Ema halach, Rabbi Shimon, like the das yochid. The shmaiter ki Rabbi Shimon kozla, because this is a continuation. This isn't lekuliyama. This was a continuation of Rabbi Shimon's statement. It is a das yochid. So speak up and say we're passing like a das yochid. I can tell me v'chitema yamin halacha Rabbi Shimon. If I were to say that halacha is like Rabbi Shimon, people may misunderstand me and think it's like that halacha is like Rabbi Shimon in regards to the yibum and pottering the tzaros as well. Mashma filu become isa that I disagree with. So then just say ema halacha Rabbi Shimon biachrona. Say that halacha is like Rabbi Shimon in regards to she's allowed to return to her first husband and she's like a shogegas, but we wouldn't allow yibum in chalitza. So say so. What says Kasha? Okay, Reb Nachman's Kasha on Rav Huna Amar Rav said it. So rather than saying the loch is like Rabbi Shimon, is a good Kasha. Okay, now in a moment we're going to explain it's not necessarily such a good Kasha. There will be those that say that in fact the Chachamim don't disagree with Rabbi Shimon, and therefore when he said Hachi Hilchasa, it meant Lekuliyama, and that's why he said this is the loch. In any event, that was Reb Nachman's opinion. Rav Sheshes disagreed with the whole statement of Rav Huna Amar Rav. Amar Rav Sheshes, he says, Amina, I say, Kinayim v'shachiv Rav, that Rav was half asleep, Amor Elohol l'shvaisa, when he said this Nemra that Rav Huna quoted, that Hachi Yosel, we paskin like this, that she is allowed to go and return to her first husband. He says, there's no way Rav could have said that. That is incorrect. Why is it incorrect? Because when he says the halacha is like this, that implies that there's a second opinion. Halacha miklal depligi. It seems that somebody says you aren't allowed to go back to the first husband, and therefore Rav Huna Amar Rav is saying, yes, you can go back to the first husband, as if there's a machlokas. Rav Sheshes holds there's no machlokas. It's all one opinion. And why is that? Because Rav Sheshes holds, who would say that she can't go back to her first husband? There were two witnesses. My hava leila mebat. We trust two witnesses throughout Shas. If two witnesses say this is kosher, so you're allowed to go and eat it. We don't say, oh, you should have checked it out. So too over here, two witnesses said her husband passed away. Yes, she's held accountable a little bit because she has to bring a korban chatas, like we said, but the bottom line is she's allowed to go get married because two witnesses said that her husband died. So therefore, my havale lemeidvat, me anis ansa. She was essentially an ones, or at least a shogeges, and therefore she should be allowed to go back to her first husband, according to not only Rabbi Shimon, according to everybody. And therefore, there is no problem. The Rav Nachman had said, why did you mention that this is a das yochid? Rav Sheshes holds that this is lekulei alma. Everybody, in fact, says this, and that's why there's no way that Rav would have said this, because it implies that there's a machlokes, and in fact, there is no machlokes. And number two, Rav Sheshes says, to show you that I'm correct, I'll prove to you that there's no machlokes over here. But, oh, Tanya, because we learned in another brisa. This brisa says, kol arayah shebetorah ein shvichos imenu get. If a person marries, quote, one of his arayas, those women that he's also to marry, so then the Kedushin aren't chal. These are women that are also usually within the Isser of Kares, or even stricter, Misa Bidei Beistin. And as a result, there's no need to give a get in that situation. The marriage wasn't chal. There's not even a habimina that the marriage was chal in that situation. One exception. At least right now we're saying it's one exception. The girsa that we have right now is chutz me'eshes ish shenisis alpi Beistin. The only one that needs a get is a woman that got married alpi Beistin, meaning a woman that got married by a single witness saying that her husband was dead. She followed the opinion of Beistin and says, yes, you can trust this opinion, albeit daika, go and check it out. And then minsava, she checked it out but not adequately, and she got married alpi Beistin, and then her husband comes back. So from this husband, the second husband, which is not the kedusha, were never really chal, midrabbanan, we require a get from the second husband. Now, that implies it was only Alpi Beistin who the boy getta. It was only when she got married because of one aid that came back, and Beistin said, yes, you can get married based upon that one aid that said that your husband passed away. Implication being, Alpi Eidim, lo boy getta. If two witnesses had come and said your husband died, and she doesn't need Beistin, so to say, haskama, to go and get married, the two witnesses never said that her husband died, so then in that situation, when she got married, then her husband comes back, she doesn't need a get from the second husband. Now, whose opinion is this Bryce of Mani? If you're going to tell me Ilema Rabbi Shimon, that this is Rabbi Shimon's opinion, that I'm going to argue with this, it can't be. Because this Bryce says, I'll be based in me boy a get. This Bryce said that you would need a get if it was I'll be based in. If there was only one witness, then you would need a get. But that's not true. Rabbi Shimon doesn't hold that you need a witness, a get, even if there's one witness. Because, Vatanya, we have a second brisa, and the second brisa says, Rabbi Shimon Omer, also based in Barosan, this brisa says that based in by the Hora to allow the woman to get married, they made it if it turned out that they were incorrect, Kizodon Ish Bisho, since they told her to be Daika, and only then Minsava. So then, in this situation, it's as if she intentionally committed Znus. If it was Alpi Edim, there were two Edim, and they basically didn't have to pronounce that it's okay to get married. So then we consider that Kishegas Ish Bisha. That was this, it was a totally involuntary act of Znus. She had no idea she was doing Znus. She's a Shogeges. And it's different than if it was an intentional act, like it was only by one aid. But the Braisa then says, but in both cases, even with one witness, and certainly with two witnesses, either be idiot, little boy, get. She doesn't need a get from this first husband. So if this was Rabbi Shimon, you wouldn't need a get if it was Al Pi Beis Din. So obviously, this Braisa is there for El Olav Rabbanan. He's going the opinion of the Rabbanan, and it states specifically that you don't need a get if there were two witnesses. So therefore, you see, Rav Sheshe says that Rav Huna, Amar Rav, was incorrect in suggesting that the halacha is like Rabbi Shimon, when it's in fact like the Chachamim as well. You don't have to say halach is like somebody when there's no machlokas. That's Oshesh's second proof. So Gemara says, no. Liolom Rabbi Shimon. In fact, Rav Huna Amar Rav was correct in saying the halach is like Rabbi Shimon because there is a machlokas over here. B'torah Tzachi. And this is how you reconcile the second Braisa. Don't read the second Braisa the way you did, that it's talking about Eidus of one Eid requiring a get and two Eidim don't require a get. No. Read it as follows. Rabbi Shimon Omer, also based in Behorason, ki kavonas ish beisha. They made it like intention to go get married. They had relations with the intention that it should be marriage. In that situation, ubaya get. They intended to get married, so there you require a get. However, it was alpi edim when it was with the testimony of two witnesses. So that's, they did kishalo b'chavonas ish v'isha. That, they said, is as if it was just a relationship that wasn't l'shem kedushin, and therefore, v'lo boya get. So therefore, this second braisa is actually only the opinion of Rabbi Shimon, and he teaches it up by saying, when there was one aid, they made it as if it was l'shem kedushin, and therefore you require a get. When it was two aid, they made it as if it was not l'shem kedushin, and therefore they don't require a get. And this is consistent with the first braisa that we brought down, kol ha'raisha b'torah, chutz b'eishashishin, this is how he based it, that's the only one that requires a get. So this is all Rabbi Shimon. Braisa number one, braisa number two are only Rabbi Shimon, and not the chachamim. So therefore, Rav Huna Amar Rav said, we paskin like Rabbi Shimon, because the Chachamim in fact disagree. That's another teretz to Rav Sheshes. Rav Ashi Amar, le'inyon isurik tani. The second Braisa is talking about Isurim and Hachik Amar. This is where you read the second Braisa. Also, based in Bo'ra Son, when Basin said, with one witness you can get married, they said that that marriage is kizodon ishbisha. That's considered a intentional zunus type of a relationship, if in fact the first husband is alive, and umitzura Albala in that situation, because it was as if she intentionally committed znus, as opposed to Api Eidim, when there were two witnesses and you didn't need a Ras Beis Din, they said that that's like Kishigas Ishbisha, that's like having an unintentional relationship while she's married, which doesn't forbid her to her first husband, as long as the first husband is not a Kohen. And therefore, below Mitzra, Albala, and she's not also to a Bala. So the second Braisa is just Rabbi Shimon. It's not the Chachamim. Rav Ashi agrees with the previous Teretz. It just gives a slightly different reason as to why that's so. The second Braisa is only Rabbi Shimon, and there's no stira with the first Braisa that it's also Rabbi Shimon. That's Rav Ashi's Teretz. Now we have a final Teretz. Ravina Amar. Ravina says, Le'inyan Karban Ketani. That we're dealing over here with a Karban. The second Braisa is discussing whether Zechi V'chatas or not. When it was Alpi based in, also based in Boroson, Kizodun Ishbisha, and therefore there is no chatas when you do something intentionally. If a person is bemazed over eating chaylev, so he doesn't bring a chatas. It's only when you eat it unintentionally that you bring a chatas. So when you got married, Alpi based in with only one witness, so then if Rahmanu Litzan, she wasn't daika enough, and she got married and it was turning out that her husband was alive, the first husband was still alive, so then in that situation, it's considered like a gizodon, an intentional act of adultery, and since it's intentional, there is no chatas. That's why in the second Raisa, when there's only one witness, there is no chatas. For Lomasya Karbin, she doesn't bring a chatas. However, Alpi Eidim, if it's two Eidim, then it's like a shkoga. Kishigigas Ishbisha, as if she had unintentionally had relations, and she's not in that situation b'meisid, and therefore Lomasya Karbin, she has to bring Karbin Chatas for being over a shogeg for a mitzvah that you would have to bring a chatas for in this situation. Okay, so these answers that we just gave, these three answers, all are knocking off Rav Sheshish by saying that Rav, in fact, did say this because there is a machlokas between the opinion of Rabbi Shimon and the Chachamim. Now we give another set of terutzim. The Bayesemo, you can say, Haka Maisa Rabbanahi. The first Braisa is, in fact, the opinion of the Rabbanan. Here's what I said before, the Girsa. Instead of reading it the way we did, the Torah Tzachi, read it this way. It said that in all of those situations, we have relations with one of the Arayis, you don't require a get. Chutz, now we read it before, as Mi'eshis Ish, Shenisis Api Beis, and we read it as one statement, that the only one that requires a get was she got married via one witness saying her first husband was dead, and therefore Beis Din gave her the permission. So that situation, since Beis Din gave her the permission, so she requires a get. That's the way we read it the first time. Here we're saying, Tiritzachi, read it this way. It's two separate statements. Number one, Chutz Me'eshes Ish, they got married with two witnesses telling her to get married. She requires a get. The Chachamim say, even with two witnesses, you require a get. And by the way, here we had the Vav, Shenisa Sabi Beis Din. And also, even if it was only one witness, she would require a get. So whether it's one or two witnesses, the first brisa is like the Chachamim, and disagrees with Rav Huna, Amar Rav, that the halacha is like Rabbi Shimon. The first brisa is showing that there is a machlokas within the Chachamim and Rabbi Shimon. Okay. Now we have a whole series of questions against Rav Sheshes. First point, Rav Sheshes has said, what could the poor lady do? She followed the two witnesses. My havalei lenevat. What could this poor woman do? And therefore, she's allowed to go back to her first husband. So we're going to have a whole series of amarim. The question, Rav Sheshes. Masav Ula says, how can you say, mi amrinan, my havalei lenevat? How can you, Rav Sheshes, say, what could the poor woman have done? I'll show you what the poor woman should have been done. But then, we learned in the Mishnah, this Mishnah is in Gittin, and it said over there, and if a husband writes his wife a get, and he kosav l'shei malchus shein ogenes, and he wrote the date incorrectly. He wrote it to the dating it by a kingdom that wasn't ogenes. Rashi points out this is a code word for malchus romi, because they didn't have, they called eino ogenes, mishum de'en lo loksav v'lo losha. They didn't have their own print, and they didn't have their own real language. In any event, you're supposed to write it to Malchus Yisrael. You write the get in the year of such and such the reign of the Jewish king. So, in fact, if you wrote it incorrectly, and you wrote it l'shem Malchus Romi, sheino mogenes, or l'shem Malchus Mordai for the Medes, if you wrote it l'shem their kingdom, or l'shem Malchus Yovan to the Greek kingdom, or l'vinyan Abayis, or if you dated it to the Beis HaMikdash, or l'churban Abayis, or since the Beis HaMikdash were destroyed, all of these are not the right ways to write a get. And therefore, all of these gittin are psulin, or hoy b'mizroch, because of Arab, he was in the east, but he mistakenly wrote that the get was being written in the west. In all of these, the get's not a kosher get. We have to be very, very makbid on gittin. That's why it says that not every rav should be arranging gittin. It says only rabbanim, they really know what they're doing, should be doing kiddushin and gittin because of the tremendous potential error. In any event, in this situation, if the get was given and the woman got married based upon that incorrect get, and then it subsequently found out that this get was not a good get, so she has to leave both the first husband and the second husband. The first husband because she's nebuch mezana under him, and second husband because it never really was a good marriage. So teitzi mizeh mizeh. She has to leave both the first and second husband, and the Chol Hadrachim Elubah, and all 16 of these dinim that the Tanakhama and Mishnah said. And then, of course, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Elazar, and Rabbi Shimon, those say that they disagreed with the Tanakhama, but all of these things apply to her as well. The Chol Hadrachim Elubah. Now, Bamai, why don't we say, according to Rav Sheshes, Lema Mai Havalele Meva, what could this poor lady have done? She had two witnesses, so what should she have done? So, the Gemara says, no, Rav Sheshes would say, that's different. By the two witnesses, you're right, what could the lady have done? But here, she should have read the get. She was given a get. She should have asked to an expert, is this get a kosher get or not? Instead, she just accepted it. So therefore, it's her fault to a certain larger extent than in the case of the two witnesses. Again, in the case of the two witnesses, Rav Sheshes doesn't hold her accountable, even though she's chayav achatas, because what could she have done? But here, there is something she could have done. Take the get to the local rav and ask the local rav, is this good? If he doesn't know, he'll ask his rav. If he doesn't know, he'll ask his rav. Until somebody says, yes, this is a kosher get, definitively. We try to shlug up Rav Sheshes again from the following. Amar Rav Shimi Barashi Toshma. We learned in the following Mishnah. It says, Hakones is Yavimto. If a man goes and does Yibum, V'holcho Tzaros of Nisus, and the Tzara, the co-wife, so Reuven had two wives, Rachel and Leah, and Reuven dies, his brother Shimon does Yibum with Rachel, and Leah goes off and gets married to somebody else. V'holcho Tzaros of Nisus. Very good. Sounds like everything is fine. However, subsequently, V'nimsus U'ailinus, it turns out that Rachel was an islandess, and therefore the Yibum that was done with Rachel is worthless. And therefore, Leah, who went and got married to somebody else, was a Shomeris Yavam still, and she required either Yibum or Chalitza from Shimon, but instead she got married to somebody else. So Teitzim Yizem is there. So we concert, she can't stay married to the new husband, to the second husband that she got married to, and she can't have Yibam with the first husband. Teitzim Yizem is there. She can't have either the original Yavam do Yibam with her, and the new husband that she married because she thought she was Nifteres by the Tzara's Yibam, so that doesn't work either. And as well, it says there, and our entire Mishnah applies there as well. And again, we ask on Rav Sheshes, why don't we say, Alviv Amai, name Amai, have a little neighbor. What could this poor lady have done? So the Gemara says, no, this case is different. As opposed to the two witnesses, Rav Sheshes would say, Iboy Lulam Tune. Here, she should have waited. She should have waited to see. Does she have Simoni Islandess? If she doesn't have the Simoni of Nairus, if she doesn't have the simoni of being a gedola, so wait till she reaches a certain age of 18 or 20, where the machlos misil v'shamai, and declare her to be an islandess, and then you'll know that you have to have yibum chalitza. She should have waited, so therefore she's held accountable. But in our case, with the two witnesses, she's not held accountable. Rosh Hashanah would say, try again. Amar Abaye Toshma. Another Mishnah says, in all the situations, let's say there was Reuven married to Rachel and Leah, and Leah was Reuven's niece. It was his brother Shimon's daughter. He married her. As we said often, an uncle would marry a niece. In any event, then Reuven dies. So now, Shimon's daughter falls to him in Yibam. There's no Yibam, and therefore we said that Tzara is Poteris. So fine. In this situation, if those Tzaras, then Rachel went off and got married, she didn't need Yibam Michalitza. And then it turns out, and it turns out that the Tzara was actually an islandess. So this daughter of Shimon actually was an islandess, and therefore there is no Erva situation, and therefore the Tzara was Mechuyeves in Yibam. Rachel now needed Yibam after the fact. So if in this situation, Nimtzu Elu Island is, so then Tetzim Yisem Yisem. So then Rachel, who got married legitimately, or so she thought, to somebody else, has to leave that new husband, and she can't have Yibam by Shimon. So Tetzim Yisem Yisem, Chol Drach Elu Ba, and all the other things, Suma Mishnah applied to her as well. And again, we ask Roshashas, why don't we say, Oviv Amai, Neima Amai, have a little maid, but what could she have done? So Gemara says again, Ovi Iboy Lelem Tune, she should have waited to see if in fact Shimon's daughter is an islandess or not. So don't get married right away. Wait a little bit to find out. Tosfos points out that every one of these situations is a little bit of a different chiddush than the previous one. That's why we seem to repeat some of these things, because each one is a little bit of a different chiddush. Try again. Amar Rava. Rava says, we learn the following Mishnah, Toshma, Kasa Sofa Get Lish, Ishover Lisha. So in those days, they would write the woman the get, and then they would write a shover, a receipt to the husband. So they would take the get back from the woman, and they would rip it up, and they would give her a receipt to say that she, in fact, had received the get. So that's what they would normally do. So the sofer writes the get, and he's supposed to give the get to the husband to give to the wife, and then he gives the shover, he's supposed to give to the wife to say that she has proof that she, in fact, is a divorced woman and collected her ksuba. Fine. V'tah, but the sofer mixed it up. The nasan get leisha, he gave the get to the woman. Now the sofer can't give the get to the woman, only the husband gave the get to the woman. So despite the fact that she has it in her possession, she's not considered divorced at that point in time. V'shover leisha, he gives the shover to the man. Now, each of them has the wrong document. And now, the man, thinking he's giving the get to his wife, he's really giving the shover, gives it again, says, this is gitech, but it's not. And she gives her husband the shover to show that he has proof that he paid off the ksuba. The nosnu zelazet, v'zelazet. So they each gave the other one the get, that they, the shtar, that they should have had. But no gittin was actually received by the woman, because she only got a shover from her husband, and that can't divorce her. Meanwhile, she thinks she's divorced, and she gets married. And 2 years later, after she's married, they suddenly see that each one had the wrong document. So what do you do in this situation? The get is tachas ish, v'shover tachas yidei isha, so she never was divorced. So nebuch, the marriage that she had is an incorrect marriage. So again, it's exactly like our Mishnah. She's not allowed to stay married to a new husband, and she's not allowed to go back to her old husband because she was a mezana. And in this situation, all of the dinim of our Mishnah apply to her as well. And again, we ask the Rosh Hashanah on Mai, why don't we say, Ovi, a name of Mai, have a lameva? What could this poor woman have done? The Gemara gives the obvious answer. Boy, lele, cruel, get her. Should have looked. And therefore, since she didn't look, she's held accountable. It's as if she did it, amazing. Try again. Amar Ravashi, Toshma. We have the following scenario. Shino, Shemo, Shemo. Shem, Iro, Shem, Iro. If the get was given, again, incorrectly written, he didn't write down her proper name. He did something wrong with her name, or he did something wrong with his name. So the get's not a kosher get, or he messed up the city in one way or the other, his city or her city. So again, the get is incorrectly written, and it's not a kosher get. So Nebuch, if she received such a get, thought she was divorced, married somebody else, and Nebuch, then they find out that the get's not a good get. So again, the same exact scenario, she has to leave her new husband, and she can't go back to her old husband, and all the other halachas that we said apply, and we again ask our Rav Sheshes, why don't we say over here the Ema, we should say Vamai, Neima, Mai Havaloi Lameima, we should say over here that in fact, she had no choice. What could she have done? And again, gives the obvious answer. No, she should have looked at her get and seen that her name was misspelled, his name was misspelled, the cities were misspelled, something was done wrong with the cities, and she should have asked a chacham, and therefore she's held accountable. As opposed to in our case, there were two witnesses. What could the woman have done? One more. Amar Ravina, Toshma, we have a following Mishnah. It says, Kenasa beget kereach. If a woman got married based upon receiving a get kereach is a certain type of a get that a kohen goes and gives, called a get mekusher. Now, this get mekusher is to delay. Once a kohen divorces his wife, that's it. He can never be maksa grushaso. So we want to delay the kohen. We want him to be a hothead and divorce his wife real quickly. So we make him write a very complicated get called the get mekusher. You have to go and fold it over and seal it and sew it up and do certain things to it. And you have to have more witnesses sign on it than usual. You have three witnesses sign on it. You have to sign on each back fold. And here, this was a get kereach. They forgot to sign on one of the folds. So in fact, it's not a kosher get. And this woman received such a get, thought she was divorced, and married somebody else. And now, so then all the same things apply. She has to divorce herself from a new husband. She can't go back to her old husband because she was Mazana. And therefore, and all the other dinim that we talked about in our Mishnah apply to her. And again, we say, why don't we say, why don't we say over here, that's all the v'chule. I'm just filling in all the v'chule. Why don't we say, that she said, what choice did she have? And again, the Gemara gives the obvious answer. She should have, again, shown it to a Talmud Chacham, or read the get, and see that something is missing from it. Again, Tosus points out that every one of these is a little bit of a chiddush from the other one. That's why it's not just repetitious. In any event, you see that Rav Sheshes is not schlugged up. All of these cases are different, and Rav Sheshes says, in the case of two witnesses, my havelim and mevav does apply. No, Rav Papa heard all of this and said Rav Sheshes is correct. So Rav Papa saw lemevav uvda b'may havelo lemevav, and there was one such a case. A woman got married with two witnesses, and Nebuchadnezzar turned out that her husband was still alive, and in fact she was an Ashes ish who had gotten married to somebody else, and the din should be that she's also lezeh lezeh. But Rav Sheshes said my havelo lemevav, and Rav Papa wanted to paskin it. So Amalei Rav Huna, the Rebbe of Yeshua, Rav Huna was the son of Yeshua, said to Rav Papa, "V'tanya kol alim esniyos." So what about all these situations? We had all these situations where these Amorim said that you don't say my havelo lemevav, and Rav Sheshes has given a teretz for each one, but after all, there were so many questions. So Rav Papa says, hey, Rav Sheshes gave a teretz, Amalei, v'lav shaninu, didn't he give a teretz to everyone? But Rav Huna Bar Yehoshua said, yeah, he gave a teretz each one, but when a person has so many questions on him, and yeah, he's able to give a doichak teretz each time, there's something wrong over here. Amalei, v'ashiyune leku v'lismo, and because of all these doichak teretzim over here, we're going to rely upon that and allow this woman to go return to her first husband? So Rav Papa rethought it, upasak, and he decided not to paskin that way. We'll do just a little bit more. Amar Ravashi says, everything that we said over here was if we have proof that the husband came back. But if it's just a rumor that the husband came back, that he's still alive, then we don't force her to get divorced from her new second husband. So the Gemara says, what is this call? What is this rumor that you're talking about? Hi, caller. Ilemo kolo de bosa nisuin. If this rumor arose after she's already married, so then we've already said, Amar Ravashi, Ravashi already taught us this, that she doesn't have to get divorced from her new husband. Because the Amar Ravashi returned to Tzadi Bezamad Aleph. That you don't have to be concerned about any rumors that come into the play after she's already married to the new husband, that her old husband is still alive. You don't have to pay any attention to those rumors. So obviously it's not talking about that. So Gemara says, no, it is. I might have thought, since this woman went to a Beis Din, she only had one witness, and therefore she had to go to Beis Din. So it's as if there's already a chashash lichatrila, even before the marriage. This is like having a rumor that the first husband is alive, even before she gets married. And in that situation, she's not allowed to go get married, v'titzar, therefore she did get married, but she shouldn't be allowed to be married, and she should be v'titzar to her second husband. Oh, Ravashi tells us, kamash v'lon, that we don't pass like that. A kol is a kol is a kol, and unless you have more definitive proof, in this situation, she is allowed to stay married to her second husband. With this, we conclude today's share.